Tens of thousands of walrus are crowding onto a sandy stretch of beach on Alaska's northwest coast. The animals were forced to swim to shore after the sea ice they live on disappeared from the Chukchi Sea. It's a phenomenon that was unheard of 5 years ago, and scientists are trying to get a handle on what the dramatic change in behavior could mean for the species long term. APRN's Annie Feit reports.
When thousands of walrus are resting close by, it's important not to attract attention to yourself. So on a foggy evening earlier this month, Anthony Fischbach is in no hurry. The USGS biologist is creeping towards the animals. He's dressed in camouflage to blend into the greenish-brown landscape.
We're crawling on our knees now through grass up towards the haulout. The haulout's a bit smaller today. Must be out at sea. Several thousand walrus here, maybe 5,000. From here, it looks like they're all females. Certainly there's some young males in there too. I'm coming up to the edge of the grass where they've squished it down with their bodies. But now most of them are down in the sand.
The animals are packed shoulder to shoulder on the beach below. Fischbach calls it a wall of walrus. The walrus are gathering on Alaska's northwest coast for only the third time in human memory. The vast majority are females who float up to the Chukchi Sea each summer to fatten up and feed their young on clams that populate the seafloor. This time of year, they should be foraging from the sea ice over the productive waters of the continental shelf. Instead, they're stuck on land.
I'm surprised by one thing. Essentially all the animals here are adult females. There's a few adult males in there, here and there, some young males, but they're essentially all adult females. When you look at a group of adult female walruses, you expect to see about one in three with yearling calves. I only see a very small number of yearling calves. That makes me wonder what's happening with the calves.
Fischbach suspects walrus moms have a harder time keeping track of their pups once the sea ice disappears. Feeding the pups is also more difficult. From land, more animals have to compete for fewer resources that are farther away. Fischbach has been attaching satellite radio tags on the walrus to try to figure out how the animals are coping. He deploys the tags with a crossbow that embeds a hockey puck-sized transmitter into a thick piece of walrus skin. Back in his Anchorage office, Fischbach describes the information he gleans from the tags as walrus diaries.
It's a simple diary. I rested, I got in the water, I fed. It all gets repeated in various combinations.
But that basic information is key to helping biologists figure out how walrus are coping with the dramatic changes in the Arctic Ocean.
The big thing we're trying to do is try to understand what it costs a walrus to make a living when they're stuck on shore, versus what it costs them to make a living when they're offshore on these small pans of ice or on the pack ice out in the middle of the Chukchi Sea.
The information is especially important as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service decides whether walrus need protection under the Endangered Species Act. USGS biologist Chad Jay just released a report on the status of walrus the agency will study as it makes a decision.
I think it's a tough one because walruses are different than, say, polar bears in that polar bears have a real tough time when they're on shore, but walruses are able to come to shore for periods of time and still make a living. Although they could be stressed, it may not necessarily mean an end to walruses, so it's not quite as clear-cut.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is expecting to make a decision on whether to list the walrus in January. In Anchorage, I'm Annie Feit.